If you have your Bible, turn to Philippians chapter number 1. Philippians chapter number 1. Philippians chapter number 1, verse number 20. Where we'd like to begin tonight, if God will be our help. The Bible says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. I want to preach a while this evening, if God will help me, on this thought, a living testimony. A living testimony. Now, every one of us have a testimony. If you're a person, you got a testimony of your life. You got a testimony you live. You got a testimony of who you come from. You've got a testimony of your family. And you got a testimony of your heritage. You got a testimony even of the community that you come out of. But the most important thing that we can have tonight is a testimony of a born-again believer. Amen? The most important thing that we have is that we know the Lord Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin, that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, praise God, you've got the most important part nailed down. But as we look at this tonight and we think of a living testimony, we see Brother Paul, and he's talking to the Philippians, and he's trying to encourage them here, and he makes this statement in verse 21. He says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Now, it's no mistake that Paul wrote this statement, but not only did he write this statement, but he lived this statement. Amen? His life was centered around the Lord Jesus Christ. Everywhere he went, everything he did, it was about the Lord, his Lord and Savior, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he was magnifying and lifting up. If you'll look at this chapter, I got to looking at an accountant the other day. In this chapter on Philippians chapter 1, Paul mentions the Lord Jesus Christ 18 times. Amen? So he was wanting to reveal to the Philippians. He wanted them to see that it wasn't about him, but it was about the Lord Jesus Christ that he was trying to magnify and lift up. It was the Lord that he was trying to put out there that they might see. Amen? And he's talking about this struggle that we have, and we mentioned briefly this morning, of the life and death struggle. And he said that's where he was. He was in a life and death struggle. He was in a battle, amen, of his life. And as we see this, we see the Philippians. Now, they had a desire that Paul would live. They would like to see him free. They'd like to see him released, that he could come unto them again and begin to minister to them. Amen. That it was more advantageous for him to live than if he died. See, they was kind of like a lot of us. They kind of had selfish motives for Paul being released unto them. They wanted what Paul had, his wisdom and his knowledge, but most of all, the Spirit of God in his heart for the people. Amen. So we see the power of God, and we see it moving in these people, in the Philippians. And we see the maybe a little bit of a selfish motive, but they wanted to keep Paul alive. Amen. But we see Paul in his perspective, and we see a little different perspective in his life. Through his eyes, he looked at it a little different. Amen. He said, "For me to live is Christ." He said, "But to die is gain." He said, "Hey, man, when this thing's over, when the Lord's through with me here," he said, "I'm going to heaven." Amen. Now, a lot of times we get caught up and we think, well, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Amen. But that's all part of it. But I pray God one day in a little while, youngins, I pray God take us out of here in the rapture, that none of us have to die. But we'll go out in the rapture, Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes to get us, to take us to be with him. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't it be nice tonight if we're sitting here and we're listening, praise God, and God's a moving our heart, the Holy Ghost of God's a feeding our souls, and all of a sudden there's a trump and a shout, and before we have time to move, before we have time to open the car door, before we have time to do nothing, anything, or say anything, praise God, all of a sudden we just go out of here. I'm talking about losing gravitation. I'm talking about feeling a pull from heaven, that tug from another world as it reaches down to where we are and just snatches us out of here. Boy, I tell you what, I don't know about you, but I feel good down in my soul. It'd be all right, praise God. I feel the tug of heaven all over this place this evening as God begins to minister to heart. I feel like old brother Paul did. Amen, glory be to God. I'll stay here as long as God would have me, but when he's ready, praise God, I'll go home. Amen. I'm just a pilgrim of passing through. I'm a sojourner. I'm a looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Oh, what a city that's going to be. Oh, what a time when we get to be with him forevermore. Glory be to God. All the sadness is behind us. All the heartache is gone. The death and the dying is no more. There'll be no more doctors and no more hospitals. They'll have to find them another occupation in the portals of glory. Glory be to God. What are you saying, Pastor Jeff? I'm saying we've got a great hope and an expectation ahead of us. You and I, praise God, in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Paul was so sincere on mentioning him so many times, praise God. Amen. Now we rejoice. We rejoice and when a little baby's born. Amen. It's a time of rejoicing. All of us, right? Because it's a beginning of a new life. Amen. A little baby comes on scene and it's beginning of a new life. But now but we mourn at funerals. When somebody passes, you know, we cry and we weep and we're sad. Amen. Because we realize that it's the end of a life. Amen. But that's the way we're geared. That's the way we are. Death is a dark place. That's why Psalm 23 said the shadow of death that's following us. Amen. It's on our trail. But praise God, if you keep your eyes on the marvelous light, Lord Jesus Christ, it'll always be behind you. Amen. What are you saying, Pastor Jeff? We'll see, praise God, we'll see the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in person before we ever realize we're gone. Amen. You think about that. He'll give us a desire and a focus to keep our eyes and our mind on the Lord Jesus Christ. Just keep lifting him up, looking to him. Other than finish our faith, praise God, he snatches us out, takes us out of here to be with him. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. We don't have to worry about dying. We don't have to worry about death. We keep our eyes on the Lord. Amen. Praise God. It makes a difference. We see it. We don't have to think about that old grim reaper. Amen. We don't have to think about that unwelcome guest that's going to come and visit us someday. Amen. That old conniving death that's always on our trail. But praise God, if we'll put our full focus on Lord Jesus Christ and the promises that he's given us, amen, we can just shout her out all the way to the house. Amen. Not have to worry about what's coming because we know what's coming. Well, what's coming for me, the same thing's coming for you if you're a born-again child of God. Amen. It'd be the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming in the clouds with great glory. Amen. Praise God. All those old saints of God that's gone on before, the Bible said that those that's died in Christ, he'll bring with him when he comes, and he'll take us up to be with them. And boy, we'll get together up there one day in a little while, and boy, we'll have us a time. We'll shout her out around the throne of grace. You say, preacher, I'm just a little bit backward. You may be down here, but I don't believe you'll be backward up there. I believe you'll shout and praise. I believe you'll shout your souls off. Amen. Some of the quietest people we got in this church will probably be the loudest ones up there. Amen. Praise God. It'll come out on you when you get to heaven. Amen. Praise God. But we begin to see it. But Paul's perspective is different. His perspective on life and death is different from what we have in the world, which we know. Amen. We look at life and we look at birth as rejoicing and death as mourning. But Paul had a different perspective. His perspective, he said that death was just a bridge. It was a bridge that he had crossed that would take him from an old life into a new life. He'd take him from a place of that old life that he used to live, that place where he was caught up in the flesh and the body and this old tabernacle in which we tabernacle in this world. But Paul said that one day in a little while, praise God, he was going to lay down this old tabernacle. He was going to lay down this old flesh, and he was going to go be with the Lord Jesus Christ. He said that's what he was looking for. He said, praise God, he said, for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. Amen. He said, I'm going to live. I'm going to live in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'm going to live for my Savior, praise God, all the days of my life. Amen. When this life is over, he said, I'm just going to cross the bridge over to the other side. What kind of side? Overside. He's crossing the bridge over into that new life. It's not only a new life, it's a glorious life, a life of glory that we celebrate with our Lord Jesus Christ on the other side. Amen. Have you ever thought about what it'd be like when you get to heaven? Have you ever thought about it? What it's going to be like when you get to heaven. You know, sometimes we see people that's older than us, especially as young people. We see folks that's it's older than us, and we say, and we can think about them. We can maybe envision them in heaven. Amen? Because we think, well, they're old, and one day, in a little while, they're going to go on. They'll be in heaven, praise God. But I want to tell you, every one of us that love the Lord and looking for His appearing will be in heaven someday. Amen. We'll see the glory of the Lord. We'll be able to be present with Him where He is. And forever, praise God. And this is true of every born-again believer. We have a blessed hope in Lord Jesus Christ. We have a hope of that new life, a glorious life in Christ. Amen. Kind of makes this old life sound dull. Amen. Kind of makes this old life sound wanting. But praise God, it is. And when you compare it to the life we'll have with Jesus Christ, our Savior, in a little while. Amen. So it didn't matter, praise God. He was rejoicing in either circumstance. Paul said, I'm just going to rejoice in either circumstance. He said, whether I'm here or whether I'm there, I'm just going to rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to praise God for all the good things He does for me. I'm just going to realize and recognize Him for His mighty hand and His power on my life. Amen. He said, I'm just going to praise Him because I can, because I get to. Amen. I'm glad we get to praise Him, ain't you? We talked about this morning that it's time to worship God. It's time, praise God. Everything's happening around us. Everything's happening in the world, but it's time to just take time to worship God. Praise God. It's time to have a living testimony for Lord Jesus Christ, to magnify His blessed name. And Paul said, it don't matter about the circumstance. He said, I'm just going to rejoice in whatever circumstance I'm in. Now, the devil don't know what to do with that. Right? The devil don't know what to do. When you get to rejoicing in your circumstances, maybe they're good circumstances, maybe they're bad circumstances, but we just get to rejoicing in the circumstance because we realize that God is good. Amen. And He's good all the time. Amen. Did you hear what I said? I said He's good all the time. We serve a good God and He's good all the time. He's never failed us. He's never forsaken us. He's always good every day, every moment of those days. But we see Paul as he begins to witness to these Philippians. He begins to offer up a testimony. And he says in verse 20, he says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope. Now what he's speaking here of, he's speaking of his hope. Now hope is that offers an expectation. Hope is nothing but faith with an expectation, something that we expect from God. And he said it's an earnest expectation. It's a real expectation. It's an it's one that he knows about. It's one that he's aware of. This expectation, he said it's earnest. It's real. Amen. He said it's deep rooted. He said it's something that I can't get away from. In other words, what he said, it's that outward manifestation of what I've got going on inside of me. Amen? That's what we need today, youngins. That's what we need. We need a living testimony of what's taking place on the inside, praise God. That's the outward manifestation of it, of that that's dealing with us from the inside. It's showing us, praise God, where God has brought us from and where He's taken us to. You remember where God brought you from? Amen? You know where you might be if it wasn't for Him? Scary, isn't it? It's hard to think about where I might be if it wasn't for the Lord. If God had, I know how I used to be. Now most of you folks is probably a whole lot better people than I used to be. But I know when I was a little old toe-headed boy, I was the meanest little old thing ever was. Amen. I deserved every beating I got from mama and then some. Now that nowadays they would call that what I got child abuse. Amen. But I believe it was a rod of correction. Mama loved me, so she didn't let me go too far to one side. Praise God. She drawed me back across the line. And it was called a hickory tee. Amen. You remember them? Mama can't tell you go out there and cut her a switch. Amen. He was a little old boy, used to go to school with my brother. And his daddy, he got in a mess. And his daddy told him, said, Terry, you go out there and cut me a limb. Well, he went out there and he found the biggest limb. It was 2.5-3 inches in diameter. Come dragging that thing in across the yard. His daddy got so tickled he couldn't even whoop him. He said, "Son, if I whooped you with that, it'd kill you." Amen. Pray God. I'm glad God loves us enough to where he chases. He shows us that he loves us. He takes care of us. And he gives us an expectation down in our heart. The reason that he does that is because he loves us so. Amen. If he didn't ever love us, he wouldn't chasten us. But he chastens us because he loves us so that we can have that expectation in our heart, praise God, that there's somebody that's out of this world that loves you and me. Amen. Somebody that's out of this world that loves you and me, that has all power in heaven and on earth. Amen. So we see that hope with expectation. We see that hope. Now that hope is that inward conviction that we have. Amen. That inward conviction that God gives us to help us to know, praise God, the love that he has for us. That's why he takes care of us like he does. You say, "Well, preacher, he don't take care of me." He takes care of you every day. He gives us everything that we have. He ministers to us in so many ways we couldn't even begin to number them. Amen. Because he loves us. So we see this expectation, and we see this expectation is actually the effect of what God's doing in our lives. Now, that effect means that we were watching anxiously to see what he's going to do next. Amen. And anticipation. Paul was looking maybe with an eager longing to see what God had in store for him next. Have you ever thought about what happens as a Christian when we begin to look to God and we begin to truly put our faith and trust in him and we begin to expect, look for him with expectation to see what he's going to do next? Amen. What do we expect of God? What the problem is, most of us, we don't expect much. When you don't expect much, usually you don't get much because you don't ever realize what you're getting. Hello? We don't realize what we're getting from God. We don't realize how much he loves us. We don't realize the effect that he's having on our lives. Now, I can see the effect that he's having on a lot of your lives. As your pastor, I watch you. Amen? You say, "Well, preacher, I don't like that." Praise God, it's the truth. It's my job. Amen? It's my job to watch you. It's my job to see you. It's my job to see you with the help of the Lord where you're at so that I can help you with the help of the Lord. Amen. Because I love each and every one of you. You are special. And it breaks my heart that we can't be together. But praise God, I thank God you're here tonight. And I love each one of you. And I'm looking at you. I'm seeing you, praise God. And I'm seeing you grow spiritually. You know what that is, church? That's you having in your heart an expectation from God to help you to manifest himself to you, to help you to grow in the love of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's that manifestation of an expectation, praise God. That's the effect. You say, "Well, if it's effective, if for everything has an effect, it's got to have a cause." What's the cause? It's the hope that we have in us, the hope of glory. Amen. Paul said it's that hope of glory that manifests itself. He said, "So I've got an earnest expectation of what God's going to do next." He said, "So whether I stay or whether I go, praise God, it's all in God's hands." He said, "I'm just trusting him that he'll minister to me till I get there." That's what he's doing to us. That's what he's doing for us. He's ministering to us and through us and giving us the goodness of God so that we can grow closer than we've ever been. So Paul begins to see the cause and the effect. And now that cause is it gives us that deep, settled peace. It gives us the assurance that God is on our side. Amen. Praise God. And that hope that comes, praise God, it's caused by a firm conviction of what God has made promise to us. Amen. God's give us a firm conviction, a strong conviction or heart that he's going to take care of us. He's going to love us. He's going to break. One day he's going to take us and call us unto himself. That so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Praise God. It's that strong conviction. And where does that come from? It's what we believe will come to pass. Amen. So what Paul had, he had a strong conviction. Amen. The cause was hope of what he knew and believed was going to come to pass. Amen. I want to ask you a question now, church. Do you believe God? Do we believe God? Amen. Glory to God. Everything that he said would come to pass will come to pass. If we believe that, then what? Praise the Lord. We should have what he offers us, which is blessed assurance. The blessed assurance that comes from knowing the Lord. That's what Paul had. That's why he would say with confidence, he said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He said, whatever God has in store for me, he said, praise God, he said, that's all right with me. He said, I'm just going to follow. This is 18 times he says, mentions the Lord Jesus Christ in this chapter. And he says, I'm just going to go with God. He says, I'm just going to stay with my loving Savior, praise God, as he begins to show himself to me, praise God, manifest himself to me, that the cause and the effect would be that earnest expectation that one day in a little while something's going to happen. And he said, it's going to be so spectacular, praise God, that I'll never get over it. I remember the night Jesus saved me in 1976. Amen. I haven't always been what I need to be, to my shame. But he's always been what he promised to be to me for his glory. Amen. And one day in a little while, he's going to take me. He's going to call me out of here to go be with him. And I'm going to be with him forever. He's going to be my God, praise the Lord. And I'm going to love him and worship him and praise him throughout eternity, world without end. Amen. I'm looking forward to that. I'm expecting that. I have an earnest expectation. I'm full of hope, praise God, of what God has promised me. So we see Paul in his testimony. We see his hope. Not only do we see his hope, but we see that he wasn't ashamed. Amen. We can say that we have hope, but if we're ashamed of that hope, what is it? I'm not ashamed of the hope of Christ. Are you? Paul says this, he goes on, he says in verse 3, he said, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. He said, because of that earnest expectation, because I know, because I have the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, I'm not ashamed about anything I say, anything I do. He said, I'm just telling you, praise God, everything that God has in store for me. Hey, listen, I don't know what he's got in store for you, but I know what he's got in store for me. I know the plan he's got for me. I know the promise he's made to me, and I'm trusting in that promise, praise God. Paul said, hey, listen, whatever he's got for you is for you. But said, what he's got for me, what he's promised me, he said, I'm just going to accept it. He said, I'm not ashamed of it. Praise God. He said, I'm just going to proclaim it everywhere I go. You know what he was doing? You know what we're doing? Praise the Lord. He said, we're just preaching the gospel. Hey, we're just telling about the Lord Jesus Christ and a promise that he's made to me. Amen. I've got a testimony, a living testimony, praise God, that I can give of my Lord and my Savior this evening. Do you got a testimony? Sure you do. I told you in the beginning, we've all got a testimony about a whole lot of different things. But I've got a testimony, Lord Jesus Christ, the living down in my heart. I've got a testimony I can tell you about tonight. The Lord Jesus saved me by his marvelous grace, took up his abode in my heart through the Holy Ghost of God, through his Spirit, and he lives down my soul. How do you know? Because he speaks to me every day. You say, preacher, does he talk to you in an audible voice? He talks to me in the volume of the book. Amen. He speaks to me through his word, and he tells me, amen. And I hide it in my heart that I might not sin against God. And I see him moving in my life. I see him directing me and focusing me. I see him bringing things to my heart and bringing things to my mind, praise God. When I'm doing something else, going in a different direction, God begins to reveal to me. He begins to show me things that he'd have me to see. If we ain't careful, we get caught up and we don't realize that God's there to minister to us, to manifest himself to us, to show us the hope that we have if we'll just look for him. And Paul said, hey, listen, said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. He said, I'm not ashamed of what God is doing. I'm not ashamed of the promises that the Lord has made to me. Bless his holy name. A believer is not to be ashamed. Amen. You and I as believers, we're not to be ashamed of Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be able to tell it everywhere we go to anybody we see. You say, well, preacher, there's a lot of people in this world don't like it, don't want to hear it. That's all right, praise God. We share with them because we love them. You say, well, preacher, they're old sinners, they're heathens, they're infidels. They don't want nothing to do with God. That's all right, praise God. We should love them anyway. Amen, because God does. God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loves us. He loves everybody. He loves old sinners. Amen. And saint alike. He loves us and we ought to love each other. We oughtn't to be ashamed to tell it wherever we go. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 8, in verse 24, he speaks of that hope that we have. He says, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Amen. Paul said, that's the hope that we have, that we don't see it, praise God. It's not right in front of us, but praise God, we know it's there because God said so
and we believe in faith and hope, praise God, that Lord's got the promise and He's the promise keeper. And He says, because of that, He said, we're not to be ashamed of Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'll never be ashamed. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 11, He said this, for the Scripture saith, in other words, God says, whosoever believeth on Him, Lord Jesus Christ, shall not be ashamed. Amen? Are you ashamed of the Lord? Are you ashamed of Him? Are you afraid of people? Are you afraid for people to pull up beside you and hear your gospel music? Amen? Are you afraid to, are you ashamed to say anything about Him because what people might think? Amen? Bible said, hey, listen, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He said, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. He said, that's where the saving power comes in. He said, I'm not ashamed to tell you about the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He said, there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And he said, I'm not ashamed of that. Praise God. I'm not ashamed. So he tells us, amen, that he's not ashamed. Not only does he tell us of his hope and his testimony, he tells us that he's not ashamed, but he magnifies God. He magnifies the Lord Jesus Christ. He lifts up the name of the Lord, praise God, everywhere he goes. They say, Paul, what do you think? He says, I think I love Jesus. Amen. Well, what do you think? They get to try to talk politics, and he said, well, let me tell you about the Lord Jesus. Amen. You say, well, you believe he'd do it? Yeah, because it was more exciting. It was more real to him than the politics of the time. Amen. Praise God. There's a lot of people that talk to you about politics, even though you don't agree. But you won't try to talk to them about Jesus because you don't think they'll agree with you. But you'll try to persuade them with the politics. Amen? And well, we should, because there's a lot of mess in this world today. There's a lot of political junk, amen, that we need to get past. And we need to just love the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him one more time in these United States of America. We ought to lift up Him, praise God, and so that He can lift up our nation one more time. So we begin to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, it tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. He says this. He said, but if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Paul was telling them here, he said, listen, he said, if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures and that He rose again according to the Scriptures on the third day, if you believe and trust in Him and you confess with your mouth, he said, you shall be saved. Amen. Glory be God. Thank God for the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the opportunity to magnify Christ Jesus in our words and our thinking. Praise God, to put Him out there and say, listen, if you believe on Lord Jesus Christ, you can be saved. Amen. He magnified Christ Jesus as His Savior. Amen. We see Paul in all of this, that living testimony that he had before the people, to the people, praise God, to those that was true believers. Amen. His perspective was different, but his perspective was real. Amen. Listen, as we look around the world today, we look around the people that we know, our families and our friends and our loved ones that we associate with every day, that we come in contact with on a regular basis. If our perspective was different on how we looked at things, how we looked at the Lord Jesus Christ, how the hope that we have in Christ, amen, that we're not ashamed of Christ, that we have a testimony, an earnest, expectant testimony of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we could be like Paul. We could say, for I am for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. We could say, you know what? No matter what happens, we're a winner either way. Amen, church. We're a winner either way. Praise God, because we have the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But Paul says his perspective, he said, you know what? He said, if I'm delivered, if I'm given to you, he said, what a blessing that'd be. And we could worship God together. He said, I could show you where I'm at in my faith. He said, I could point you to my Savior. I can show you my Lord. Amen. He goes on in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 22. He says, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I won't not. For I'm a straight betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Amen. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Paul said in his testimony, he said, hey, listen, let me tell you the best part. The best part if I could just go on to glory. Amen. The best part, he said, is what I've got waiting for me on the side. He said, if you'd let me, I'll tell you about it. He said, preacher, you think he'd be like that? He is ambitious. Paul was ambitious. Amen. If you was one of his jailers before you got to from one shift to the next, if you was chained to him, he would give you the gospel whether you wanted it or not. He would tell you about his Lord and Savior. He would give you the encourager that encourages him. Amen. He wasn't ashamed of the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. He would magnify Christ above every circumstance and every situation. See, his perspective was different. I want to say tonight, church, what we need is a different perspective on our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We need a different perspective on how we see Christ. Paul's perspective was to give Christ glory here. And Paul's perspective was to give God glory in heaven. No matter where he was, no matter what situation, he was still going to give God glory. Amen. He was going to glorify his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He was going to lift up the name of Jesus everywhere he went. He wasn't changing for nobody. He was going to stay steadfast to what he believed. He said, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. He said, I'm not going to change my mind. He said, no, circumstances aren't going to change my mind. Circumstances ain't going to change what I believe. Circumstances ain't going to change the way I act and the way I live. Circumstances ain't going to change my Savior. And since circumstances ain't going to change my Savior, then circumstances is not going to change my mind. We're living in a world today, let me say this and I'm done. We're living today, the world would like to change our mind. It would like to make us think that we're wrong in what we believe and what we think, what we say and what we do when it comes to lifting up the name of Jesus. But I want to say, praise God, the circumstances, amen, are what we make our circumstances to be. And we ought to take every circumstance, every opportunity we have just to lift up the name of Jesus. You say, preacher, how do we do that? By beginning to look for opportunities every day. You and I have to look for opportunity to lift up the precious name of Jesus. Why was Paul so excited? Because he had an earnest expectation, a hope, and he was looking for an opportunity to magnify his Lord and his Savior. If we begin to look for an opportunity, God will put opportunity on our door. He'll give us that opportunity to lift up the name of Jesus, to magnify him above all other names. Amen. If we'll just look for the opportunity. What are we talking about? We're talking about a living testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm a living testimony for Jesus. Amen. He said, I'm in the strait betwixt two, having a desire to part and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. He said, right now, he said, what you need is that we could just get together and said, let me just tell you about my Savior. Tell you about what he's done for me. And the goodness and the good things he has to bestow on you. Amen. And that we can all come together and give God glory for it all. It's all about him. It's all about what we do for him in the time that we have. Paul says, hey, listen, the time is short. He said, it's running out. But praise God, he said, while I can. Amen. He said, I'm just going to lift up the name of Jesus. Amen. Without fear or favoritism, I'm going to tell you about what Jesus did for me. Amen. Do you remember what Jesus done for you, church? You remember the day that he come to you, the way he knocked on your heart's door? Amen. Told you how much he loved you. Told you that he loved you enough that he died for you. Amen. He died for, and you can put your name right there. He died for each and every one of us so that we could be free from sin. Amen. So we could just say, Lord, forgive me an old sinner. Save my wretched soul, amen, from a devil's hell. And boy, Jesus Christ, come into our heart, forgive our sin, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Bless his holy name. That's the God that we serve tonight. That's the God that we have. It's the same one that Paul was looking to in earnest expectation, in hope of his salvation. Praise God.